స్వయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణ అరవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహరాశీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీలహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ్ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హేమనమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమాం శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదరే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్థవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్తున్నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చార్తేష విజ్ఞస్వరాల్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంది యల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్రత్ర సర్గో మృష దామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మల్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని హృదే కిం వాబరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబదా భాగవదం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసియా భువి భావుగాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుభేదమపేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయతరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం జైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదానేందోః మమ ఉవాచి విజృంభదాం మురారేర్ మధురీం నక్కనిగావి కావిగావి. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలి శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. వేదాంబరం నరవిరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతి సుందరమందహాసం వదాలయ శమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கைதி கிரிம் எல் கிருபாத்மஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய நம ஸ்ரீமதி ராதிகாயே நம சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனிநாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிரத வர்ஷினி பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினிம் அம்ப த்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷணி நமோஸ்து தே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்ர நேத்ர ஏன த்வயா பாரத தைலபூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய பிரதீபா பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய தோத்ரவே த்ரைகவாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிரத துஹே நம சர்வோபனிஷதோ காவோ தோக்தா கோபால நந்தனா பார்த்தோ வல்ச சுதீர்போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிரதம் மஹத் வசுதே வசுதம் தேவம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜெகத்குரும் பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடா ஜயத்ரத ஜலா காந்தார நீலோல்பலா சல்யக்ராஹவதி கிருபேண வஹனீ கர்ணேன வேலா குலா அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ண கோரமகர துரியோதனா வர்த்தினி சோத்தீர்ண கலு பாண்டவைரண நதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவாம் பாராசரவஜ சரோஜமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோல்கடம் நானாக்கியானிக கேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜன ஷல்பதைரஹரஹ பேபீயமானம் முதா பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜ களிமல பிரத்வம்சின ஸ்ரேயசே மூகம் கரோதி வாஜாலம் பங்கும் லங்கைதே கிரிம் எல் கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் எம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருதஸ்வந்தி திவ்யே சவேர் வேதை சாங்கபதை கிரமோபனிஷதைர் காயந்தியம் சாமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்திரத்கதேன மனசாவசந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுஸ்வரா சுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த யோந்த பிரவிஷமம் பிரசுப்தம் சஞ்சீவயத்தகில சக்திதரஸ்வதாம் நாம் அன்யாம் சாஸ்திரச்சரணாம் சுகாதீம் பிராணான் நமோ பகவதே புருஷாய துபியம் பூதேர் மஹத்பிரே மா புரோ விபுர் துர்மாய சேதே யதமூஷு பூருஷ புங்கே குணான் ஷோடச ஷோடசால்பகம் சோலம் கிருஷிஷ்ட பகவான் பஜாம் சிமே பிரஹ்லாத நாரத பராசர புண்டரீக வியாசம் பரீஷ சௌனக பீஷ்மதாபியான் ருக்மாங்கதார்ஜுன வசிஷ்ட விபீஷணான்யான் புண்ணியானிமான் பரமபாகவதான் ஸ்மராமி. Krishna says to Uddhava that the gopis' separation from him and how they are suffering because of feeling that separation, that is the fifth verse. Maita prayasam preshte duraste gokulastriya smarandyonga vimukhyandi vira aukandya vikvalaha. He says, when I am living here in Mathura, gopis with their mind, intelligence, senses, is all absorbed in me. I am in Mathura, Krishna says to Uddhava, but the gopis' mind, intelligence and senses are absorbed in me. And they love him, love me, Krishna says, more than their own life, their own pranam, right? And due to their continuous smarana of Krishna, and due to the feeling of intense separation from Krishna, they have become very weak and they are unable to bear that separation. That feeling is so intense that they are not able to bear the separation, right? And somehow or the other, hoping that they will see me one day, they are maintaining their life in Vrindavanam, right? So, therefore, I have given them a promise when I left Vrindavanam that I will come back one day and I have given this message to them. And believing my words, they are living now in Vrindavan, right? And due to their desire to see me and believing in my words, they are passing their time, but at the same time they are feeling that their desire has not been fulfilled so far. So therefore, they are struggling very hard to maintain their life to such an extent they are feeling the separation. And somehow or the other they are maintaining their life in this world. So that's what, you see the word they have used, Madalmiga. In the sixth chapter, in the sixth verse, you see, Dhyarayandi Adi Krishrena Praya Pranan Kathanjana Pratyagamana Sandeshir Vallevyome Madalmiga. Madalmiga means that, that means their mind, intelligence, senses, everything is in me now. Their mind and intelligence is not in their body anymore. And if their mind and intelligence were absorbed in their bodies, then they would have given up their life long ago. They would have left this world long ago. But you have to go and pacify them, console them, that directly you cannot console them, but you can convey this message, what I give to you, and that way they may get pacified. So, in this way, as a messenger for Krishna, Uddhava got into the chariot and moved to Vrindavan, left for Vrindavan. That is the next verse you can see. Shri Shuka Vacham Ityukta Uddhava Rajan Sandesham Bharturadrada Adaya Retham Aryuhya Prayau Nandagogulam. Then, Praptonandam Vrajam Shriman Nimlochadi Vibhavasau Channayana Pravishadam Pashunam Kurare Nubi. Vrindavanam, Uddhava arrived in Vrindavanam by the end of the day when the sun was setting, and he was covered with the dust which was caused by the cows which were roaming around in Vrindavan. And therefore they could not see Uddhava because the whole chariot was covered in dust. That's why that's a use of word Channayana. Channayana means that gopis could not see Uddhava in the chariot. Then in the next 4 or 5 verses, they are talking about Gokulam, how it was. Vasidarthya bhijit nadidam yudbhir nadidam shushmibhir vrushai dhavandi vishya vasrabhi rodho dharei soval sagan. The bulls were fighting to mate with the cows. And due to that, and cows which were running to feed their calves, because of that, Gokulam was inundated with the sound as well as from the dust of the cows and the calves and the bulls. Idastado vilangadbir govel ser mandidam sidai godoha shabdhaviravam venunam nisvanena cha. Because of these calves running around everywhere and the sound of, because it was evening time, they were milking the cows. And due to that also, they were talking to each other, leave the calf, let the calf drink. And somebody was saying that, tie the calf back, not allow the calf to come to the cow. In this way, they were saying different things. And due to all that, and at the same time, Krishna's sound of the flute, the gopis who were talking to each other, in that Gokulam, Uddhava arrived. Gayandi Vishakarmani Shubhani Balakrishna Yoho Solam Kradabir Gobi Bir Gobaisha Suvirajidam. Gobis were singing the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna's different activities, and gopis were decorated, and cowherd men also, gopas also, were busy with different things, and to that Gokulam Uddhava arrived. Agnirka Didi Govipra Pitra Devarchananyude Dubadi Veshamalesha Gobavasa Ermanoramam. അഗ്നി, സൂര്യൻ, അതിഥി, ഗോകൗസ്, ബ്രാഹ്മണസ്, ഫോർഫാദേഴ്സ്, ഡെമിഗോഡ്സ്, ഓൾ ഓഫ് ദം വർ വർഷിപ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഗോകുലം. ആൻഡ് ദർ ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ഡെക്കറേറ്റഡ് വിത്ത് ദി ഗാർലൻഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻസെൻസ് ആൻഡ് ലാംപ്സ്. ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ എ ടിപ്പിക്കൽ വില്ലേജ് വാസ് ഇസ് പ്രസന്റഡ് ദർ. സർവത പുഷ്പിതവനം ദ്വിജാളികുലനാദിതം ഹംസകാരണ്ഡവകീർണൈ പത്മഷണ്ഡൈശ്ചമണ്ഡിതം. So the trees which were there with plenty of flowers and so many birds, they were making their noise in this way, and plenty of lotus flowers, and all of them with that he arrived in Gokulam.
Tamagadam samagamya krishna sanajaram priyam nanda prida parishujya vasudeva adiyar chayad.
So Uddhava arrived at Nanda Maharaj's and Yashoda's home, and Nanda Maharaj was feeling ecstatic when Uddhava arrived. He embraced Uddhava and worshipped him.
Bojiram paramanena samvishtam kashipau sukham gadashramam paryaprachat padasamvahanadibhi.
He fed him well and then offered him a place to lie down and massaged Uddhava's feet. So Nanda Maharaj felt very ecstatic when Uddhava arrived. So he embraced him again and again, knowing well that he is the close friend of Krishna. And seeing him as Vasudeva, in other words, Sachidananda Paramatma present in everyone as Antaryami, seeing like that, he embraced Uddhava. Not on a bodily level, realizing that Antaryami Vasudeva is present in everyone, and in that way he offered respects to Uddhava. And afterwards, Uddhava went to bathe in the evening time. At the same time, the cowherd boys were bringing their cows and calves back home from the forest, right? When they saw Uddhava, they thought Krishna has come back. And as though they are receiving Krishna back, they embraced him and welcomed him. Afterwards, Uddhava went to bathe in the river and came back, and they gave him a nice prasadam, everything. And afterwards, they wanted to inquire from him about the situation in Mathura. They wanted to know about Krishna, basically.
Kachidanga Mahabhaga Sakha na Shuranandana Aste Kushalya Bhatyadir Yukto Mukta Sukhradvada.
Uddhava, is Vasudev happy? And is he having his life with his wife, children, everybody together? Are they happily living in Mathura? They asked this to Uddhava. And so when they came back, this question was raised by Nanda Maharaj to Uddhava. Nanda Maharaj asked Uddhava about Vasudev's welfare, Vasudev and Devaki and the children. That's how Nanda Maharaj started the conversation.
Dishtya kamso hata papa sanuga svena papmana sadhunam dharma shilanam yadunam dveshtiya sada.
I'm not surprised, he said, because that Kamsa who had such a tremendous hate towards the Yadavas and who have tortured them heavily, and that Kamsa along with his followers has been killed because of his own sinful activities. Nanda Maharaj said,
Abhismaradina Krishna Madharam Suhrada Sakhin Gopan Mrujam Chalpanasam Gavo Vrindavanam Girim.
Then Krishna, does he remember his mother or his friends, the cowherd boys who are here? And does he remember the gopis who are here and all the gopas, all his friends, and Vrindavanam? And similarly, the cows and calves whom he had looked after for several years, and his place of residence where he lived, and the Vrajabhumi Govardhanam. Does he remember any time any of these things? They wanted to hear from Uddhava how Krishna spends his time. Does he talks about his past in Vrindavanam? So, he did not ask, Nanda Maharaj didn't ask, does Krishna remember him? He didn't ask that question. He only asked, does he remember his mother? Does he remember all the friends, cowherd boys and other gobis and cows and Vrindavanam, home, everything? But didn't ask other way. Nanda Maharaj was always thinking like this, that I am not much different from anybody else. There is nothing special about me. And therefore he didn't ask in that way. You can see that the question what Nanda Maharaj raised, does Krishna remember his mother, his friends, about his cowherd boys, friends, and Gokulam, Vrindavanam, and the cows, Govardhanam, does he remember any of them? But he didn't mention about himself. He didn't ask. Just to show that how selfless Nanda Maharaj is. He wanted to hear from Uddhava, what is Krishna doing? What's Krishna saying there, right? And then he said, Apyayasi Govinda, Sojanayan Sagridhikshinam, Tarhidrakshyami Tadvaktram, Sunasam Susmidekshanam. Will Krishna ever come back to Vrindavanam? He says, even at least once. If he does come back, at least we could see his nose, that beautiful nose, and his smile, and his eyes, and that beautiful face. At least once again, they said like that. Yeah. So, from there you can understand that Nanda Maharaj wanted to hear, does Krishna remember Yashoda Devi more than himself? Yeah. And also about others. And that did he say any time that he's going to come back? He said, if it is like that, I could have seen that beautiful smile once again, and his beautiful eyes, and the beautiful face. Did he say any time that he's going to come back here? He said, if he does come back, we will get the good fortune of seeing him. That smile, that eyes, and that nose, and his lips, and of course that beautiful face, we'll be able to see him. That's why I'm asking, he said. Nanda Maharaj said like that, yeah? So, then he said, Nanda Maharaj mentioned about Krishna's leela in Vrindavanam, what all he has done. Dava agner vada varshacha visha sarpacha rakshida durate ebhya mrtibhya krishnena sumahalpana. He says that what Krishna has done for us, every single one thing, even in the dream we can't forget it, he said. Because how he protected us from Kaliya, from the forest of fire, cows and the cowherd men, similarly, and my friends who are the grown-up men,
all of them gopis, all of them Krishna has saved them from forest fire. Similarly, the cows and the calves and the cowherd boys, they were also were protected from the forest fire. In two occasions this has happened. So similarly from the heavy rain from Indra and the venomous Kaliya, how powerful, big, powerful, strong Kaliya snake is from him. In this way, from different dangers, Krishna has protected us, right? And we will not be able to forget all of that, and even in the dreams, he said. Smaradam Krishna Viryani Leela Panga Nirikshitam Hasidam Bhashidam Changa Sarvana Shithila Kriya. When we think about different pastimes of Krishna and how after every Leela, how he looked at us with love and affection and his beautiful smile, how he spoke to us, when we think about all that, we are finding it difficult to all our activities in Vrindavanam, we could not give any attention to any of those things. When we think about Krishna's activities, we are not able to attend to our own activities here. Our Shraddha is not able to focus on that. We could not do anything after that, after Krishna saved us from all these dangers, right? And even the daily routine activities, we could not handle, manage it because of thinking about Krishna, right? And so he says there, in this way, because we were not doing any karmam, with our mind absorbed in that. Mind was absorbed in Krishna, but karmam was carrying on. Therefore, all karmam has left us. In other words, Nanda Maharaj is saying that practically he was not absorbed in the karmam because mind was absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, karmam had left him, he says. What does that mean? It means that the activities were like a karma yogam. It was happening, right? So, and his smile and his glancing with the beautiful eyes and conversation, all these things, when we think about that, our mind goes after him and the mind cannot focus on anything else, right? And we forget ourselves, even the body and the world, and in that state, our karmam has left us, he says. What to talk about? He says, the daily routine activities like bathing in the morning and brushing the teeth and things like that, also we couldn't do it seriously because our mind was so absorbed in Krishna. And if we could not do our daily routine things, what can we say about our other activities? Nanda Maharaj says. And this is this is the way it has to happen. Because of absorption in Krishna, the karmam has to leave us. This is how the right way. Because we get absorbed in Krishna to such an extent, the karmam has to leave us, right? So, karmam, you cannot give up on your own karmam. That is difficult, right? And that won't be karma tyagam. On the other hand, he gives the example there, you can see. This is called Ubaramam. Ubaramam means naturally things leaving us. Not forcefully leaving things. naturally it's leaving us, right? See the word, everything leaves the jiva from this world in a natural way.
Sarichaila vinoddeshan mukunda padabhushitan akridan ichamanana manoyadi tadalmadam.
He says, whenever we think about Krishna, due to our past remembrance of Krishna, when we look at the rivers, the hills, and the forests, and all the places where Krishna has performed his lila, all of those places, when we think about that, it's our mind is completely absorbed in that, right?
Manye Krishnamcha Ramancha Praptaviha Surottamau Suranam Mahadarthaya Gargasya Vajanam Yatha.
Garga Maharshi has spoken about this, that Balram and Krishna had come to this world to fulfill some higher purpose of the Devas. For that purpose, we think that they are the best among the Devas. To fulfill their desires, they have come here. So, what it is saying is that when the mind becomes absorbed in Krishna, or bhakti develops in the heart to a very higher level, due to that, automatically we forget this body, we forget the world as well. And when that happens, you won't be able to focus on in any karma what you are doing. That's a natural way of what you call as uparamam. Uparamam means how karmam leaves us. That due to increased absorption in Krishna of the mind, our attention in the body, attention in the world goes away. And along with that, we will not be able to give any more focus on the karma what we are doing. That will also leave, right? So, in natural way, a person who is doing sadhana in this world, karma leaves him in that way, right? So, then, at that time, when that stage comes, he should increase his sadhana and intensify more. With that, nothing else he has to do. He is not any more obliged to do any karma at that stage. These are all high levels of sadhana, what is discussed in these Bhagavatam. How, for one who is doing sadhana, how his karma leaves him due to bhakti. Due to bhakti, karma leaves him. And when karma leaves, bhakti gets stronger, and then he has to execute bhakti much more intensely at that time. And at that point in time, even if he wants to do any karma, he won't be able to do it. And naturally, at that stage, the mind and the senses will not go into the world outside. It won't find any taste in the world. This is a natural way to how we become free from the world. People struggle very hard to come out of the world, is it not? So many ways we are bound. For a long time in a devotee's life, the world is pulling in one direction, which means Maya is pulling in one direction and Krishna is pulling in the other direction. And between these two, he is going back and forth for quite a long period of time. And then when he increases his sadhana and intensify his spiritual activities, gradually Maya withdraws from him. And at that stage, in his mind, all the time it is Krishna. Sense objects and the world is not anymore present inside. It has left him, right? And at that moment, only bhakti is there in his heart. And when he never even think once in his life of sense gratification, that attraction has also left him. Sense gratification, right? In this way, when he is completely intoxicated with Krishna consciousness or bhakti at that time, and he will not be able to think about anything else except Krishna. no other topics in this world will be of any interest to him. So that's the state what he is talking about here.
Sarichailavanodheshan Mukundavadaboshidan Akridan Ichamananam Manoyadi Tadalpadam.
Why Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's mind is revealed here to us? To make us aware that when bhakti develops in the heart, this is the way it progresses for a person. Yeah. He says that about the house, he is saying that everything in this house, Nanda Maharaj says, has something to say about Krishna. And anything, if you walk around in this house, it will remind us of Krishna. He says, it will remind us of Krishna. And when we forget like that, everything has become Krishnamayam. Everything is Krishna at that moment, right? We forget this body, we forget this world as well, and we used to stand there as though we are stunned, remembering Krishna. To such an extent, the memory is of home. Now the Maharaj says, whenever we look at the house, that's what was happening to us. And the whole house, he says, is a memory of Krishna's places of different pastimes we perform, Leelasthanam, right? When we get down from the house outside, when we look outside, every location has witnessed some activity of Krishna. It has been witnessing, right? And that you can see Krishna's even footprints sometimes, somewhere. And when we see like that, we forget ourselves. And viyoga vihola, that means that feeling of separation burns inside. And everywhere we walk around, that remembrance of Krishna keeps coming back to us. And it will keep reminding us of different things what happened when Krishna was here. And when that thought comes about Krishna, and our mind gets absorbed in Krishna, we'll forget everything and we will stand there fully stunned. We used to stand there like that. Previously, when Krishna was present here, we will think about it, how things were happening here. It will bring us back to the memory of while he was present here, right? And as soon as we think that, oh, Krishna has left this home and went away to Mathura, when we think like that, that feeling of separation will come and we'll feel, suffer from that. So, with all that, we are living here every single day, he said. And that is what is happening. When our mind gets absorbed in Krishna, we cannot do anything else. Previously, it was not like that, he said. Krishna was here, we were enjoying it with him. But with this separation, it has become unbearable, Nanda Maharaj says, right? And due to this viyoga dukkham, that means this distress due to separations, and due to this excitement we used to have remembering his pastimes, somehow or the other, the mind cannot think of anything else now except Krishna. Either in separation or in through pastimes. These two things has taken control of our mind, says Nanda Maharaj, right? And every karmam, nobody is interested in doing anything anymore. All karmam has left us, right? And there is no karmam to do anymore. Similarly, in every house of the gopas or the cowherd men, they have also got different things to say about Krishna's
pastimes, what he has performed there in their houses, they all have got something to say, right? So when they also, when those memory comes to them, other gopis and the gopas, cowherd men, Krishna will fulfill their mind, and our mind will get absorbed in Krishna. And they also couldn't do anything. So, in this way, just explaining Nanda Maharaj, the situation in Vrindavanam to Uddhava. And every nook and corner, Vrindavanam, has something to say about Krishna, right? Because the places where his divine pastimes have happened, it has happened everywhere, in one place or the other. Vrindavanam, Yamuna River, Govardhanam, all of them have a lot to say about Krishna, right? And it will appear as though they are all talking about that even now. So, there is no place in Vrindavanam, he says, any cowherd men or gobis in whose house Krishna has not performed any leela. So, in this way, Krishna smarana, remembering Krishna, we are living in this world now. And I have told them that Krishna will come back one day. And they are all living here with that hope that Krishna will come back one day. And we know that Krishna won't tell a lie like that, right? We think that Krishna will come back here to Vrindavanam one day. And we are all waiting for that. And we cannot do any karma now because of our remembrance of Krishna, and we don't want anything else in this world. Yes? So, saying that, he says, all we are praying is that we get an opportunity to see him again. We don't have any other desire. Manye Krishnam cha Ramancha Prapta viha surottamau Suranam mahadarthaya Gargasya vachanam yatha. We think that Garga Maharshi has spoken that Balaram and Krishna had come to this world for fulfilling some higher purpose of the devas. For that purpose they had come. We think that he is Narayana. And we think of Krishna and Balaram as Narayana himself, right? And then Nanda Maharaj says, not only because of Garga's words, Garga Maharshi's words, even with our own experience, says Nanda Maharaj, then that is true. We think like that. Why? Kamsam nagayida pranam mallav gajapatim tatha avadishtam lila eva pashuniva mrigadhipa. Lion is chasing the cows, and similarly, Kamsa has got the strength of 10,000 elephants, right? And then he has got this Chanura and Mushtiya. And similarly, Kuvalayapidam and all that. Krishna has killed all of them easily, without any difficulty, right? Both Balaram and Krishna together. Similarly, in the forest, there is the baby elephants and the sugarcane, how they break the sugarcane tree, plants, right? Similarly, and big, huge palm trees, these elephants go and hit them, and then the palm fruit will fall from the trees. That's normal. And so, that's what he's saying here, that the pralambo denuga arishto trinavarta bagadaya daitya surasurajito adha yeneha lilaya pralamba Arishta, Trinavarta, Bhaga, all these asuras were killed by Krishna very easily. And all this is showing that similarly, as a child, 7-year-old child,
He lifted the Govardhana hill and held it in his hand for 7 days. Similarly, just like an elephant break the sugar cane, similarly, three huge palm trees, that strength is there in that huge bow which Krishna has broken in Mathura. So when he has done all these things, from all these, we have concluded that Balaram and Krishna is the absolute truth, Narayana himself, in this way, right? And idi samsmritya samsmritya, nanda krishnaru rakthadhi, ati ulkando bhava tushni, prema prasara sambhuda. Nanda Maharaj, who was attached to Krishna in this way, kept on talking about Krishna and remembering him, and due to that, tears were coming from his eyes, due to the love of Krishna, and he could not speak anything anymore after that, after he has spoken all these things, right? So, you can see from this that the different demons like Pralamba, Denuga, Arishta, Trunavarta and all that, when they were killed by Krishna and Balaram, this cannot be done by ordinary people, he said. And we have no doubts that they are Narayana himself had come. So when this love for Krishna started flowing from his mind in this way, Nanda Maharaj could not speak anything afterwards, and he wanted to hear from Uddhava what is he has got to say about Krishna, right? And he sat there without saying any word further. At that time, listening to this conversation between Krishna, Uddhava and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi was sitting there. You can imagine her state of mind. That's why next two verses you will see. Yashoda Varnamanani Putrasya Charitani Cha Shrunanda Shrunyavasrakshi Sneha Snudapayodharam. Yashoda Devi is listening to all this conversation between Nanda Maharaj and Uddhava, and she was enjoying all the pastimes what Nanda Maharaj was talking about, and due to her love inside her mind, because of the attachment to Krishna was so strong, that the milk started flowing from her breasts. And she could not say anything, one word, she couldn't ask anything. She just kept crying. Tears were coming from her eyes, right? So that was Yashoda's situation, yeah? And when this happened, both Yashoda and Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, when they spoke like this, Uddhava could not control himself, seeing their bhakti to Krishna, their attachment to Krishna. Bhakti means what? Attachment to Krishna, in that way, right? So, this prema bhakti, what he saw, Uddhava saw, in Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Uddhava also could not control himself, right? And he tried to pacify them. He was trying to pacify them. That is the next verse, what he is saying there. Uddhava says, Yuvam shlangyadamau nunam dehinam iham anada narayane akhila guru yat krida madiri drishi. Uddhava says, seeing Krishna's presence in everyone, in that way you have offer respects to everybody, and in this world, among the living entities, you are the most worshipable. Uddhava says, why? Because you have developed such a bhakti towards Yashoda Devi and to Krishna. Developed such a bhakti to Krishna, right? How did this happen? this buddhi like this, how your mind and intelligence has developed this kind of attachment to Krishna. How did that happen? Uddhava was in a shock to see that the state of consciousness of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, right? And after saying that, Yashoda couldn't say anything, one word, right? Hearing this Krishna Katha, what Nanda Maharaj was saying, and keep on hearing that, and she kept on crying, and trying to control her mind, feeling a lot of distress, because when Krishna left Vrindavanam, he never said to Yashoda, I won't be coming back, I'll be staying in Vrindavanam. Yashoda Devi was expecting that night to come back, but that didn't happen, right? From that day onwards, you can imagine Yashoda's state of mind. And here also you see here that she controlled her distress and kept quiet and sat there listening to this conversation between Nanda Maharaj and Uddhava, right? So this bhakti of Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, Uddhava saw this and he tried to tell them this way. Both of you are, we have to glorify you first, he said, because everyone should worship you both, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, because Narayane Akhila Gurau Yalkrada Madhiri Drishi. That's the reason for that. What does that mean? It means Narayane Akhila Guru. Krishna is the Jagat Guru, right? And in that Jagat Guru, you have developed this Prema Bhakti to such an intensity. Unusual Prema Bhakti. That you have got towards Krishna, who is Narayana Jagat Guru. That's what Uddhava is saying there. You see, Yuvam Shrangyanamo Nunam Dehinam Yamanada Narayane Akhila Guru Yalkrita Madhiri Drashi, he said. Yeah? So, this type of Prema Bhakti, what I have seen in you, in Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, even the gopis and gopas, cohort men, I haven't seen this, right? You have acquired the highest state of bhakti, Uddhava says to Nanda Maharaj, right? And therefore you are the most worshipable people. Therefore he says you should be worshipped. Remembering that, thinking that one day Krishna will come back and you will have an opportunity to see Krishna Mukha Kamala Darshanam, seeing the beautiful face of Krishna and able to stay, live in this world, in this state of consciousness through Prema Bhakti and continuously remembering him, Krishna, Anusandhanam, in that way, and all body, mind, senses, everything completely absorbed in Krishna. You have to be worshipped for this, he said. You are very fortunate, he said, because in human life, this is what is to be achieved, and you have achieved that. Whatever one has to acquire in human life, the success of human life is developing this Prema Bhakti. You have succeeded in acquiring that. And with that Prema Bhakti, that you are living in this world, hoping that one day you will be able to see him and living the rest of the life in that state. Right? And such a state of life, such a way of life in this world is very, very rare, he said. And to see someone in this state of consciousness is very rare. And even great yogis, he says, they struggle very hard to remember Krishna all the time, right? They also will have their own desires inside. When will we be able to see Krishna? They'll be thinking like that, right? And it takes a very long time for the yogis to come to a higher state that they are able to remember Krishna continuously. And and to absorb all the senses, mind, intelligence, everything in Krishna is a very difficult thing. And able to anusandhanam, able to continuously remember like that Krishna all the time inside, to see somebody like that is very difficult in this world, he said. And such fortunate people have to have performed something in your previous life, but from your situation now, I feel, Uddhava says, that that's the next verse. If you look, he says that Akhila Guru Tattvam, that means Guru Tattvam, Krishna is the Guru Tattvam, and Sarva Janagattvam, Sarva Niyandratvam. In other words, that he is in control of everything, complete control of everything, right? And he is the one who is present in everybody as their very self. And he controls all jivas in this world as their antaryami. All these things is in the next verse. Edau hi vishwasija bija yoni Ramo Mugundo Purusha Pradhanam Anmiya Bodeshu Vilakshanasya Jnanasya Cheshada Imo Purano. What he is saying is that the one who is present in everybody, in everyone, every living entity, right? And this Balaram and Krishna, who is Sachidananda Brahman, is the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam of this world. You know what that means? Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam. Nimitta Karanam means he is the cause behind everything. Upadana Karanam means this is made of him. Krishna and Balaram is this world, is him, right? So if you ask a question, is Prakriti and Purusha is not the cause? If you ask that question, they are Prakriti and Purusha. And he says that they are also the controller of everybody. Niyamagatvam. Niyandava. In other words, one who controls everyone from inside. Purano imau bodeshu anvya vilakshanasya jnanasya mishate. They have entered into every living entity and they control every living entity, all the jivas. Jivas are not different from him. They are present in every living entity. That is because of that only the jiva is there. So, jivas appears as though there are many. Jivas appears many in this creation. Billions and trillions of jivas, right? But all those jivas are under their control. Because jivas have come from them. Krishna and Balaram, right? And they remain always as the controller of all the jivas. So that is what he is saying there. So, Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam, he mentioned there that by whom something in this situation, by whom something is protected, that is the Upadana Karanam. And who is protecting, that is a nimitta karanam. Like here, Krishna and Balaram is a nimitta karanam. And the jivas who are being protected, they are the upadana karanam. This relationship between Krishna and the jiva is something we have to always keep repeating that. Yeah. So, at this moment in time, one should always remember Chadashloki Bhagavadam. Yeah. Because in Chadashloki Bhagavadam, this is the point Krishna was making. Only me exist, he is saying this, is it not? Aham evasam. If you understand the first verse in the Chadashloki, you will understand the whole four verses. When Krishna gave Chadashloki Bhagavadam to Brahma, Brahma understood. But Krishna knew that this Chadashloki Bhagavadam won't be sufficient for others. They won't understand it. So what did he do? Therefore, Brahma expanded it and gave it to Narada Maharshi later on. That was the reason why Brahma expanded it. Because the four verses, what Krishna has given to Brahma, Brahma could understand by Krishna's mercy. But he knew well that other people won't be able to understand that message clearly. So therefore, Brahma spoke in three chapters to Sri Narada Maharshi, 5, 6 and 7 in the second canto. So, what does that verse say? Aham eva sameva agni. That prior to this creation, only Krishna was there. That's the first statement. Aham eva sameva agni. Before creation, Krishna says, only me existed. When Krishna says like that, you shouldn't think that Krishna with the two-handed form, he was present there. In other words, what he is saying is that consciousness only existed. Aham means that consciousness, Antaryami inside, the consciousness, Bodham, Sachidananda Brahmam, Paramatma, whichever way we address that, yeah? So, so before creation happened, only consciousness existed, right? Nothing else, right? So then, after that, what happens? He becomes the Upadana Karanam and Nimitta Karanam, right? So how? Because Maya comes in Krishna, in that consciousness. In Sachidananda Brahmam, Maya comes, right? Maya appears. Suddenly Maya appears, right? And that Maya is there only because behind the Maya, that is, Krishna is present there. Because of that, yeah? So, where is Maya then? Maya also is in Krishna. Maya is also present in Krishna. So therefore, it's not different. Maya is not different from Krishna in that way, right? So Maya is the Upadanam then, and Krishna is the Nimittam, right? And from then on, it is Maya who is expanding after that. And therefore, this whole creation is Maya's vilasam it is. After Maya comes, from then on, everything is Maya what is doing, the rest of the thing, expanding it themselves. Maya keeps on expanding. And then comes, from Maya comes Mahatattvam, then Ahangaram, then the three modes of nature separate, Sattva, Rajasa, Tamasam. From Tamasa Ahangaram comes senses and the elements. Rajasa Ahangaram comes the Buddhi and the five material elements and things like that. And then the mind comes from the Sattva Ahangaram, in that way. And then in that way, it is Maya's expansion, what we are seeing now here in this world, right? So, so Krishna, initially, when he says aham, that aham is pure Sachidananda Brahmam, Sachidananda Paramatma. And then Maya comes. Once Maya comes, that expansion begins. Maya expands, and that's how we are all here, as products of Maya. Maya gave us this gross body, Maya gave us the subtle body. The only thing is, when Maya is expanding like this, in the form of different names and forms, Krishna enters into every name and form, because Krishna is present in the Maya, and he enters into every name and form, and that is a jiva. That's the jiva. So, in that way, he gives a reality, right? So it is that Krishna who is with Maya is the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam, not the pure state of Sachidananda Brahma. That's a thing to understand here. Krishna, Maya has come. That means Krishna is present in the Maya, but Maya has come now. And then when Maya is expanding, Krishna enters into everything as jiva. So Krishna, who is present in Maya, is the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam of everything that is present in the Maya. And because of Krishna's presence in everything, what has been produced by Maya, right? And he gives the reality to everything in the Maya. We all feel everything is real, real, real. This feeling is coming because of Krishna's presence in Maya and everything that is present in the Maya. So, Maya is concerned, you cannot explain it. Does it exist or it doesn't exist? If you ask that question, there is no answer to that. That's why the word used in the Vedantam is anirvachaniya shakti, anirvachaniyam. You cannot define it, what Maya is, right? Because Maya expands, and due to that this creation comes, right? why is it not real? Why do we say like that? Because everything in this creation has appeared one day, it will stay for some time, and then it will disappear. So therefore it's not real. This is the argument. Yeah. So that's the way we have to see that. Yeah. That everything is created one day, all living entities, all things in this creation, everything is created one day, it will stay for some time, and then it will disappear. So, by definition itself of the truth, right? If you say something is existing, it means that it should not go through any changes. If it changes, it means it was created one day. If something is changing, it means it was created one day. And if it was created one day, it has to disappear one day. That's the logic behind it, right? And everything that is in Maya's creation is created one day, and therefore it will stay for some time, and then it will disappear, right? And anything that is created and stays for some time, and then it disappears, it's not the truth. This is the Vedantam position, Bhagavad Gita's position, Bhagavatam position also. This is not going to change. Anything that is created means it will stay for some time and then it will disappear. Therefore, it cannot be the truth. It cannot be the truth. So, it is then that we use the word mithya. Such a thing is called mithya, right? So, everything in this creation is mithya bhudam. Mithya bhudam, right? But when we are here in this world, we still feel that this is all real. And they will all stay. And this perception what we get is due to Krishna's presence in this Maya. That is why we feel like that. That they are real and they will stay. That is Maya's grip on us. Maya uses that
and keep us going in this world. It's a very difficult thing, isn't it? So, so reality, what you feel in this world, is due to Krishna's presence in Maya, and and in the creation, both Maya is present, Krishna is also present, right? As he said many times before, if you don't forget that, Satyam Asitva Astibhadi Priyam, Satachita Anandam, that is Krishna present in the creation. Namam Rubam is Maya. Namam Rubam is Maya, right? So, anything what you perceive through your senses is Maya. Whatever you perceive through your senses, what they call it as Maya Vilasam. Maya's Vilasam it is, right? In other words, when we look at something, we feel that it exists, right? And we also start thinking it will be there forever. And we give reality to that, right? Unma or Shashastitvam, right? But nothing in this creation has got a permanent existence, right? Everything is a temporary thing. Like we go this Sunday, and we think that next Sunday when we come back, this hall will be here. Isn't it? We are fully conscious that the hall will be here when we come on next Sunday. But Vedantam says, don't take it for granted, because this has created one day, and it may not be there. It's a question of time only, how long it will be, right? So, when Krishna is present in the Maya, that everything gets some reality to that. So, because of Krishna's presence in the Maya, and that reality what you are feeling is due to the presence of Satchidananda Brahman. So, Maya and Krishna together are the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam of the creation. Krishna with Maya, not Krishna on his own. Krishna on his own, there is no Maya appeared at that time. In his pure state, he is pure Satchidananda Brahman. From there, when Maya appeared, that time in Maya, Krishna is present. So Krishna and Maya combined together is the Nimitta Karanam and Upadana Karanam of this creation, right? So, Sankhya Shastram says that same thing in Prakriti and Purusha, in that way, right? So, here Uddhava is saying, what Sankhyam says is Prakriti and Purusha. It's the same Krishna and Balaram. He says, right? So, in Sankhyam when they say that pure Satchidanandam with Maya, he is called a Purusha. Pure Satchidanandam, Satchidanandam with Maya is called a Purusha. And Maya is called a Prakriti. So there is no difference at all. Basically it's the same thing. And we are addressing in two different names, that's all. So Purusha and Prakriti in Sankhya means Satchidananda Brahma with Maya is Purusha and Maya is Prakriti. So so and that's what he is saying here. Anvaya Bhudeshu Vilakshanasya Jnanasya Che Shate Imau Puranau. Imau Purano, that they are present in Nimitta Karanam, Upadana Karanam, and he is present in every living entity as Antaryami, present there, and he controls every jiva in their life all the time. We foolishly think that we are making decisions and we are doing things. Actually, Krishna is controlling every jiva from within. We have very limited freedom in all these things. Whatever Krishna dictates from inside, we have to act on that basis, right? So, and
So what is jiva then? That's what we have to understand. That jiva is nothing but a reflection of the Antaryami in the subtle body. He enters into chittam and then to ahankaram, then to buddhi and then to the mind. Yeah? So when it gets into ahankaram, we start thinking we are a person, individual. We start thinking like that. I am a person. Where did this come from? Why do we identify with this body so strongly? Because that jivatva. And that is very difficult to break away from that. Is it not? We know that we are not this body. This body will die one day and go. Why are we identifying with so strongly with that? Because Krishna has entered into our ahankara. And that is where the identification started. The reflection of Antaryami in the ahankaram is jiva. So with that jiva, Chaitanya, present there, and when it reflects there, ahankaram is inside the subtle body, antakaranam, or subtle body, right? And what is ahankaram? Where does ahankaram's connection? Ahankaram is the one that links the subtle body with the gross body. Ahankaram links. It's a link between gross and subtle body, right? And because of that linking, what ahankaram does, in the subtle body, this perception of the gross body comes as the self. Identification with the gross body is in the subtle body, in our subtle body. Too complex. If you ask me, prove all these things, how can you prove this? This is the problem, as I was saying yesterday also, that till we come out of this misunderstanding that everything you will only believe if you see through your eyes, then you cannot go any further in spiritual life. You won't understand anything. All these things are Rishi's realizations. They are saying to us, they have very clearly told us where the ahankaram comes, what is the subtle body, and what happens when the ahankaram interacts with the Antaryami. Jiva is born. When jiva is born, the link with the gross body becomes stronger. And it identifies with the gross body. That's how the bodily identification has come. And that identification is in the subtle body. Because ahankaram is in the subtle body. Now, if you want to prove all this the modern scientific way, it's not possible. There is no way of proving that. So, that is where Shastram comes. Shastram, either you have to have the blunt faith in the Shastram. If you don't have that, and if you want everything only after, if you prove it to me, I'll believe it, then better not to waste time on doing that. It won't work like that. The Shastram says, you follow the process and you realize it, and then nobody has to tell you anymore after that. That's the approach from the Shastram. Shastram says, Rishis are saying to us, this is the process and this is the reality. You realize the self, follow the process, realize the self, and then you won't ask this question anymore. But then you'll have to give that sacrifice for that. Yeah. So, once we identify with the gross body, then we have all become different personalities. And we are millions and billions of jivas existing like that. Because there are billions and billions of subtle bodies present, right? And so many living entities identifying with so many different subtle bodies, right? And all these living entities in different subtle bodies, they are all controlled by Antaryami, who is one, present in everybody, and he is controlling all the jivas, right? So, yeah. Jiva's boundary is finished in the subtle body. He is always present in the subtle body, right? And jiva's nature is like this, that he considers jiva's consciousness, jiva's way of thinking is, right, that he considers the body as the self, as him. He as the body, right? And every jiva identifies with its own gross body. And that jiva is present in the subtle body, in the ahankaram. And every time when the antaryami's connection with the subtle body is through an ahankaram, that means jiva gets its power, existence is dependent on antaryami inside, right? And and jiva considers that this gross body as his identity, right? In this way, he considers the gross body, based on the gross body, he considers as a personality, as different personalities in this world, right? So jiva is always different personalities. Antaryami is one. That's the difference. Antaryami is present in everyone, but then Antaryami is one. But the jiva who is present in everybody are different. Because that is depending on the subtle body. Yeah. So, strictly speaking, the jiva's identity is also, that means before it started identifying with the body, the jiva also was like Sachidananda Antaryami, Sachidananda Paramatma, right? And due to Maya, that's why this happened. Maya and the avidya, from Maya, due to that jiva bhavam has come to us, right? And along with that, we have forgotten our identity and we started, misunderstanding began, and we started identifying with the gross body. And that is called a jiva. So, why did we become a jiva? Because we had forgotten our spiritual identity, right? And Maya has caused that. And so, we lost our Surupa Bodham. That means our real Surupam, who we are, right? And our real Surupam is Paramatma Chaitanyam, right? Sachidanandam. But when we became contact with Maya, when Maya injected avidya into us, when that happened, we have become jiva. And that same Antaryami is giving life to jiva. Jiva exists because of Antaryami. But Antaryami, on the other hand, is the one which has nothing to do with Maya. He remains aloof from Maya and he knows who he is. Antaryami knows who he is, right? And therefore he is called Ishvara. Antaryami is Ishvara. Like Krishna is saying that. Yeah. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. So, jiva should understand that Ishvara is the one which is not touched by Maya, which is Antaryami, who is present in everyone. Ishvara is present in everyone. So, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that jiva should surrender to Antaryami. Then, you can see, as and when an opportunity comes, Shukha Brahmarshi will bring Upanishad's knowledge into Bhagavadam. You can see this very clearly. We were talking about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda crying there, feeling Krishna's separation. Then the next verse is all from Upanishads. Upanishad's knowledge is flowing in there. Because this is the, having spoken, Uddhava is saying this, isn't it? It is Uddhava's words, all these things. Right? So, having said, appreciating Yashoda Devi's and Nanda Maharaj's bhakti, Uddhava has appreciated that, and then the next thing he said was this. Yasmin janam prana viyoga kale kshanam samavesha mano avishuddham നിർഹൃത്യ കർമാശയമാശുയാതി പരാംഗതിം ബ്രഹ്മയോർക്കവർണ ബ്രഹ്മമയോ അർക്കവർണ തസ്മിൻ ഭവന്താവഖിലാത്മഹേതൗ നാരായണേ കാരണമർത്യമൂർത്തൗ ഭാവം വിദത്താം നിതരാം മഹാത്മൻ കിം വാവശിഷ്ടം ഇവയോ സുകൃത്യം.
There could be a question now that if Antaryami does not is present in everyone, how come Antaryami has to go with a jiva everywhere, and Antaryami also must have another birth like jiva is having, right? So that's what he is asking. Why? What is the difference from Antaryami with the jiva then? Because when jiva leaves this body and accepts another body, at that time you see Antaryami again there, in the next body, with the jiva. So if it is like that, does Antaryami also go through transmigration, like the jiva, way jiva does? And what is special with what Antaryami, that is what is spoken in that verse, right? He is saying here, yasmin jana prana viyoga kale. That means at the time of giving up this body, while the prana leaves this body, one who, with a purified heart, if he is able to join his mind with Krishna at that Antaryami at that time, right? Then he realizes that he is Paramatma Chaitanyam, Shuddha Sachidananda Brahmam, and he becomes released. And his bodily identity goes away, all his karmam leaves him, and he escapes from the cycle of birth and death. That's well known. If at the time of death, if we are able to leave this, leave the body with a complete absorption of the mind in Krishna or Antaryami, and if we leave the body like that, you don't come back again. That's in the Bhagavad Gita also. Andhakaleja mamaiva സ്മരൺ തിക്വാ കളയപരം എപ്രയാതി സമദ്ഭാവം യാതി നാസ്തി എത്ര സംശയ. ഉദ്ധവ ഇസ് സെയിങ് എക്സാക്ട്ലി ദി സെയിം തിങ് യസ്മിൻ ക്ഷണ യസ്മിൻ ജന പ്രാണവിയോഗ കാലേ ക്ഷണം സമാവേശ്യ മനോ അവിശുദ്ധം നിർഹൃത്യ കർമാശയമാശയാതി പരാംഗതിയും ബ്രഹ്മമയോർക്ക വർണ്ണ. യാ സോ അറ്റ് ദ ടൈം ഓഫ് ലിവിംഗ് ദിസ് ബോഡി If you are able to do it means if it happens that the mind goes to Krishna and gets absorbed in Krishna, right? And then you will realize that you are pure Sachidanandam, not this bodily identity, right? Due to that, this connection with the gross body goes away, and all the karma vasana in the subtle body also goes away, and we become free from this cycle of birth and death once for all. Once for all, we become free from the cycle of birth and death. And we realize our spiritual identity and become that, Sachidananda Paramatma, right? right at this moment, this jiva inside has to come to that state while leaving the body that Antaryami inside is Narayana or Krishna, and due to bhakti, to higher bhakti, prema bhakti, right? If he has developed that bhakti to the highest level, at that stage, the jiva is not feeling that separation anymore. It has become one with the Antaryami, right? And he does not have any more any responsibility, right? He has acquired, completely satisfied with everything. So, to acquire such a bhakti in Krishna and to feel that oneness with Sachidananda Paramatma, right? This is the highest goal of life. You see that verse? Tasmin bhavan bhavanda akhilalma heto narayane karana martya murto. To get this prema bhakti in Narayana, Krishna, is saying here, that is the highest goal, and you have got that. Now, you don't have to achieve anything in life. You have reached that stage, right? And bhavam vidattam nidaram mahalman kimva avashishtam ivayo sukratyam. You have already acquired the highest goal of that bhakti. And therefore, at the time of leaving the body, if one lives in this state of consciousness, then he is not going to come back again. Uddhava is saying this. So you can see through bhakti, liberation is possible. Bhakti also liberation is possible, right? So, and with that you are satisfied, he says. So, you see there, next verse, there's nothing for you to do anymore in this world. Agamish atidirgena kalena vraja machuda priyam vidhasade pitor bhagavan satvadam padi. Very soon, Krishna will come back to Gokulam and he will console you both, Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj. Uddhava is saying like that because Krishna has told him to say like that. Khatva kamsam rengamadhi pradibam sarvasatvadam yadahava samagatya Krishna satyam karotital. And after killing Kamsa, who has been given trouble to all the Yadavas, he will come here and he will keep his word. He will keep his promise, right? So, they are finding it difficult, the separation. Who? Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So, because they are suffering from that, Uddhava is saying the next verse. Ma kidyadam mahabhagav dakshanda krishna mandige andar kridisa bodhanam aste jyotiri vaidhasi. Slowly, Krishna is bringing the philosophical understanding that, remember, he said, Krishna is with you. That he is always with you, right? Just like fire is in the wood, Krishna is present in everyone's heart, right? If you ask the question, why then you are not seeing him? That is why, like the wood in the fire in the wood, nobody is seeing the fire. But everybody knows the fire is in the wood. In the same way, when you use the firewood, only then the fire comes out. When madhanam happens, when you use the firewood, then the fire in the wood comes out. Till then, the fire is hiding in the wood. In the same way, in all of us, Krishna is present inside. Only when we do sadhana, when Krishna reveals himself, Krishna comes out from inside. Just like the fire comes out from the wood. That's why that example. Andar kridisa bhudanam ase jyotiri vaidhasi, it says. Right? Even though fire is present in the wood, it doesn't come out normally. Unless you start burning the wood. In the same way, in this body, Krishna is present inside. But Krishna will only come out when you do the sadhana with this body. Gross and subtle bodies. When you engage in sadhana. That's what he is saying there. Right? So, and then he says, you should not feel the separation, right? Krishna is present in everyone, as see, Antaryami, he is present in everybody, right? And even if you want to get separated from Krishna, it's not possible, Uddhava is saying. Even if you want to get separated from him, it's not possible. Because Krishna is our very self, Antaryami inside, right?
And when your identity is Antaryami, how can you separate from him? That's not possible. Similarly, he says here that the Andarkhrita Bodhana Masya Jyotiri Vaidasi, right? When you start looking at Krishna as a person, that is when you have the problem. When you start looking at Krishna simply as a person, then you will have this problem. Say Uddhava. Right? But if you start seeing him separately from that person form, as Antaryami inside, not as a person, but as Antaryami inside, then you will get free from this problem. He says, right? But if you start thinking that he is not inside, but he is outside as a person, and if you start looking at him in that way, you will feel the separation. That is the main principle. Separation comes only when you start seeing Krishna as a person outside in another form, separately from you. Separately from you. If you start seeing him as a person outside, then you will have the separation always, right? So, but if you see him, his actual identity as Antaryami inside, Antaryami has come outside in a form. If you take it like that, then you will never feel the separation from Krishna. It's an important principle in spiritual life. You see, most of the misunderstanding that we think that, when you say Krishna is present inside as Antaryami, people take it in another way. That important thing to realize is that, first of all, Krishna said, Aham evasam evagre. There's only me everywhere, nothing else. He established his identity like that, Krishna's identity. Aham evasam evagre. Except him, nothing else exists here. If nothing else exists here, then within us also he has to be there. Antaryami has to be there. Krishna has to be there inside. Uddhava is saying that so long as you think he is a person outside, standing outside you, separately from you, then you will always have this problem that you will feel separation from him. But if you understand that Krishna is present inside as your very self, if you accept that, then there cannot be any question of separation from him. So that Krishna Tattvam, Uddhava is hammering into Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. This is there because even among the gopis, Krishna had to do this, Uddhava also done that. To understand this principle, that Krishna is present inside in every living entity as their very self, as Antaryami. And if you ignore that and thinking that Krishna is only outside, I am separate from him, if you remain like that, you will always feel separation from him. Even like you remember when Sri Narada Maharshi, when he first saw Krishna, Krishna disappeared and Narada Maharshi felt separation from him. Is it not? He cries there at that time. And then he was saying that when will death come so that I can see him again? So, he says there, Arabdha Karma Nirvanam Nibadal Panjabhautigam. He says, this body is made of 5 material elements, Panjabhautigam, right? When will my Prarabdha Karma will finish and when will this body will drop so that I can go into my next life? So, at that point, even Narada Maharshi was not very clear about this point. And that is why then in the next birth, Brahma educates him with this knowledge. And that is how Narada Maharshi realizes that Krishna is present in everyone. In that life, Narada Maharshi didn't realize it. It is in the next life, this Antaryami realization happened to Narada Maharshi. So, they gave the example of the firewood and the fire, right? He is present in everyone as Antaryami. Krishna is like that fire in the wood, right? Krishna Tattvam. Like he said to Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj, you have Krishna Premam. Just like Krishna Premam, you should also know Krishna Tattvam, he said. This is the Krishna Tattvam. Krishna Premam is necessary, but Krishna Premam alone is not sufficient. Krishna Tattvam also you should know, he said. Right? So, and due to constant association with Krishna, you have acquired Krishna Premam. You have acquired Krishna Premam. That you have acquired. And you have reached the state, right? But, but you have not acquired this realization that Krishna is your Andaryami inside. That Krishna Tattvam, you haven't got it. Uddhava says to him, right? The reason is, for bhakti can develop anywhere, in anybody. There need not be a guru in that sense. A proper guru is not required. That means this concept of guru is based on the jnana margam. That is where guru's necessity is absolutely essential. In bhakti, guru is not absolutely necessary. See, for example, any jiva in this world can develop bhakti. If he gets attracted to Krishna somehow, and he gets serious about serving Krishna, and if his attachment day by day increases, bhakti will develop in the heart. So that is the nature of bhakti, right? So in order to acquire this ultimate goal of premam, love for Krishna, it's not necessary, absolutely essential, to have a guru. It's not absolutely essential. In bhakti it is like that, right? But that means Krishna Premam can develop in anyone, even without a guru. But Krishna Tattvam, if you have to get it, you need a guru. It cannot happen otherwise. Yeah. So that Krishna Tattvam, gopis didn't have, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda also didn't have. So, and that is the principle what Uddhava is making it clear to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, right? So, so Uddhava says to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda that the tattvam, paramartha tattvam, or the reality of Krishna, what is Krishna, right? Paramartham, of course, is Krishna Premam. Will get you there, right? And Uddhava is saying through his words that, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, that this separation what you are feeling is due to lack of Krishna Tattvam in you. You have Krishna Premam, but Krishna Tattvam has not gone inside yet. And therefore, Uddhava spoke the Krishna Tattvam to them. Then you are asking that, will he come one day, come back to see us? You are asking that, right? So, you should not think like that, Uddhava said to them, right? Because as far as Krishna is concerned, he has no father, he has no mother either. Yeah? So, you will see that in the 38th verse. How else can you explain Krishna to others? Na mada, na pida tasya, na bharya, na sudadaya. He doesn't have wives. He doesn't have children. Almiyo, na parashyabi, na deho janmaye vacha. Very clear, isn't it? Is it difficult to understand? That Krishna is, Uddhava is saying, Krishna doesn't have a mother. Krishna doesn't have a father. You see, bhakti is nice. It's very good to have bhakti like this. Bhakti has purified their heart. Who? Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. But the knowledge should also be there. Without this knowledge, they will suffer. And that is why gopis had to be... And even after Uddhava's, knowledge won't get in very easily. Bhakti, you can somehow or the other build it up. Various ways, dancing and chanting and all. Bhakti will somehow come one day. At least you are, when you are with the devotees, you will dance. Even if you are physically, yeah, still you will dance somehow. So at least at that moment you have some bhakti in the heart. Bhakti may develop in the heart, but knowledge is not like that. Tattvam, Krishna Tattvam has to get inside. And so that's what Uddhava has spoken in this way. Na mata na pita dasya. And he is saying this to Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, who was thinking that they are his father and mother. You go and tell somebody, you are not their his father and mother. And they are thinking that he is our beloved son, who Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda had enough. Listen, na mada, na bidatasya. And not only that, he says Krishna doesn't have wives also. And Krishna doesn't have children either. Na bharya, na sudadaya. Why? Almiyo na parashyabi, na deho janma evacha. He is the soul of everyone and he doesn't even have a body, he says. That is why understanding Krishna is not easy. In bhakti, in the beginning, we have the deities at the temple and we got initiated, we are chanting our 6 tune rounds and following 4 regulative principles and all. That's in one level. It's just the beginning of this, the science of Krishna. Science of Krishna is in these two chapters, 46 and 47, with the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And that has to come from a personality like Uddhava. And Krishna has authorized Uddhava to speak all these things to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And even though he speaks the same thing to gopis, they also didn't understand. When they said to gopis are saying to Uddhava, don't tell us all these things. We don't understand it, what you are saying. Like we say. We don't understand what you are talking about, he says. We only know Krishna in the temple. He is dressed nicely today. And he's got a flute in the hand. He smiles nicely. He's very beautiful. The prasadam was very nice. This is how we relate with Krishna, is it not? So in Bhagavatam, in these situations only, you start realizing there is something more to it than that. That's what this Krishna Tattvam is. And Krishna Tattvam, Uddhava is giving it to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And the same Krishna Tattvam, he gives it to gopis later. So, that's what he's saying here. So, Guru, I know if I say these things, you may think that why I'm saying all these things. But unfortunately, that is how in Bhagavatam it is. Sometimes we misunderstand things. Oh, I got my Guru now, so everything is taken care of now. I don't have to worry about anything. So misunderstanding develops like this. Spiritual life is an ongoing thing. And a lot of things in spiritual life, we may not get the clarity in the beginning. To start with, it's good that somebody is there to guide you through help and all that. But all the responsibility is on your shoulders, not on the Guru's shoulders. You got to do the hard work, the sadhana involved in that, and then develop that bhakti by which you get qualified for the jnanam, and in that way, a great personality. That is when you require the presence of a Guru, at that stage. When you have developed a sufficient bhakti in the heart, at that stage, you need a Guru. And that is where, and all the things what is spoken in the Ekadasi Skandam is on that basis. Where he says there, isn't it? That when the Guru and the disciple meets, Guru is self-realized and the disciple has got all these qualifications. So bhakti is the process by which you get all the qualifications necessary to get a Guru. That's where bhakti leads to. That is at that stage you get to have a proper Guru who will release you from this bondage. So, you can see about when, so Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda is saying, when is he coming back? When is he coming back? They were asking like this to Uddhava. And Uddhava heard this so many times and Uddhava had enough this question, when they are coming back? Has he told you when is he coming back? Like this. So he says, Uddhava says, that thinking that it's doubtful whether he will come back. The reason for that is 37th verse. You see? Nahyasya astipriya kashil na priyo vastyamaninam నో ఉత్తమో సాధమో వాభి సమేన న్యాససమో సమోభివా. కృష్ణస్ పొజిషన్ ఇస్ కృష్ణ డజంట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ఎనీబడీ ఇన్ ఎనీ ఫార్మ్ అండ్ కృష్ణ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో ఇన్ హిమ్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ ఈక్వల్ టు ఎవ్రీబడీ రైట్ అండ్ నోబడీ ఈస్ డియర్ టు హిమ్ అండ్ నోబడీ ఈస్ హౌ డు యు సే నోబడీ ఈస్ హిస్ ఫేవరెట్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఫేవరెట్ హీ డజంట్ ఫేవర్ ఎనీబడీ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ అన్ఫేవరబుల్ టు ఎనీబడీ హీ సీస్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఈక్వలీ దట్ ఈస్ హిస్ పొజిషన్ రైట్ కశ్చిన్ నహ్యస్యాస్తి ప్రియ కశ్చిన్ నా ప్రియో వాస్యమానినాం అండ్ ఫార్ హిమ్ దెర్ ఈస్ నోబడీ హాయర్ ఆర్ నోబడీ లోవర్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ హీ సీస్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే వై బికాస్ ఇట్స్ హిమ్ హూ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ దేర్ ఫార్ వై డిడ్ ఈ సే దిస్ టు మేక్ నంద మహారాజ్ అండ్ యశోద అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ యూ డోంట్ థింక్ బికాస్ నంద మహారాజ్ అండ్ యశోద థింకింగ్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ దట్ ఫార్మ్ సిట్టింగ్ ఇన్ మథుర అండ్ వాట్ దే వాంట్ ఈస్ దట్ ఫార్మ్ షుడ్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ హియర్ దట్స్ నాట్ అ వెరీ హైయర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ ప్రాపర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఈస్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ నాట్ సెపరేట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎనీబడీ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ దట్ రియలైజేషన్ హ్యాస్ టు కమ్ దర్ ఈస్ నో అదర్ వే ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ద ఓన్లీ వే స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ కెన్ హ్యాపన్ నమాదా నిదాత్య నార్యా నుదాదయ ఆత్మీయో నరశాబి నేహో జన్మ ఏవజ ఈవన్ ఈ డెసన్ హ్యావ్ ఎ బాడీ హీ సేస్ కృష్ణ డెసన్ హ్యావ్ ఎ బాడీ దట్ ఫార్మ్ వాట్ సచిదానంద బ్రహ్మం హ్యాస్ అపియర్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్ల్డ్ ఫార్ అ సర్టన్ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ ద బాడీ వాస్ ద ఫార్మ్ వాస్ టేకన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ హియర్ విత్ దట్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ డిసపియర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ వర్ల్డ్ ఇఫ్ యూ రీడ్ కృష్ణస్ డిసపియరెన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ వర్ల్డ్ యూ కెన్ సీ దేర్ that the form slowly started disappearing from here. Indra and Brahma and all wanted to invite him to come to their abode to have a party or to say goodbye because it's on their request that form has come. Krishna has come, is it not? But they also didn't know where that form has gone. That's how it says. If you look at the disappearance of Krishna, that form has disappeared from this world, right? So that's why it's so difficult to understand the Krishna. Sachidananda Brahmam has taken a form. That's what all incarnation means. Malsyam, Kurmam. These are all different energies present in the Brahmam. Malsya Shakti, it's called. And with that, he became a Malsyam. Varahi Shakti, he becomes a Varaham. And Narasimha Shakti, he becomes a Narasimham. Whatever form is necessary, appropriate form, what is necessary for that particular situation, that form, Brahmam takes it. Brahmam takes that form. That's how all the incarnations have come. So, we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadavasmi nirvavanam శ్రయకైదవచంద్రియా వితరణం విద్యావధూ జీవనం ఆనందం బుధివర్ధనం ప్రతిపద పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాప్నాసువనం వరం విజయదే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామ్నామగారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నిమిదా స్మరణేన కాల ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్మమావి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహా జనినానురాగ తృణారవీశుని జైన తరోరవి సహిష్ణున అమాని నామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాంబా జగదీశకామయి మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహైదుగిత్వయి అయి నందననుజ కింగరాం పతితా మాం క్షమే భవాంబుధౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయ నయనం గలద శుధారయ వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిర పులకైర్నిచితం గదావవౌ తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగా ఇదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశా ఇదం శూన్యా ఇదం జగత్సర్వం గోవిందవరహే నమే ఆశ్లేష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తదా వా విదదాదులం భడో మల్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద.
So, Uddhava explained Krishna Tattvam to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And he stole the way Krishna answered, Uddhava answered, Nanda Maharaj's question was, when will Krishna come back to see us? And Uddhava's answer was these verses, 37 and 38. He said that, the way he answered was that, as far as Krishna is concerned, he is equal to all. He doesn't have someone is very dear to him or somebody is not so close to him in that way. Priyam apriyam. Happy with somebody, not happy with someone else. Krishna doesn't have that problem like we have. But then he doesn't think somebody is higher and somebody is lower. Everybody is equal to him, which is understandable because it's him who is present in everybody. So because it is like that, for him he cannot have, he cannot favor one and he cannot go against someone, isn't it? Because after all it's him who is present in everybody. That's what he's saying in that 37th verse. Na hyasya asti priya kashil, na priyo vasti manina, no uttamo sa anathamo vabi, samanasya samobhiva. In that one verse, right? And then he said, again to make it more clear to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Uddhava says, na madha, na pita tasya, na bhairya, na sudadaya, na almiyo, na marashchabi, na deho, janma evaja. Krishna also said the same thing, isn't it? Ajobisanna, ve alma, budanam isharobisan, Bhagavad Gita. I have no birth, he said. Krishna says, I have no birth. I am ajam. Ajam means one who has no birth. Ajobisanna, ve alma, I am. I am atma, I am pure consciousness. Avyayam it is, it cannot be destroyed. Budanam isharobisan, I am present in everyone, Buddha says Ishvara, present in there. Prakritim swam adhishtaya, adhishtanam is the prakriti maya here. Sambhavami alpa maya. So you can understand where the tattva jnanam comes from Upanishads. There is no question about that. But time and again, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi has brought that into Bhagavadam whenever it is appropriate. He will bring that in. Here and in every other sutis also it will come. So Uddhava is saying the same thing. Na madha, na pita tasya, na bhairya, na sudadaya. He doesn't have father, he doesn't have a mother. And he doesn't have wife, he doesn't have children. All these things, we think that Krishna, some people are very worried why Krishna has 16,000 wives. And and we think all about Krishna's family, what a big family to us. All this family, as far as Krishna is concerned, what relevance has it got? When he wanted to leave them, he left all 16,108 here and he went. After that, we have not seen him. So, na madha, na vidadasya, na bhairya, na sudadaya, all about children. Pradyumna, he didn't have a child after marriage for a very long period of time. Krishna didn't have a child. And everybody is saying, why Krishna doesn't have any child? They were questioning that. Dwaraka, they were talking about it. Why Krishna doesn't have a son? So after a long wait, Pradyumna came. And Pradyumna was stolen. And Krishna has to perform penances to please Lord Shiva. Went to Kailasam to get a son. So you're reading all these things. And then you're saying to everybody that Krishna decides everything. So, lot of questions will come. That is a Puranam's way of saying things. Yeah, we shouldn't. Vedavyasa Maharshi is driving this point into our head that truth is one, forms are many. And so, then with Shiva's mercy, in Mahabharatam it's like that. With Shiva's mercy, Krishna got a son, it says. And that's Pradyumna. And then Pradyumna was stolen. For 25 years he's disappeared. And then Rukmini complained to Krishna, what, after long wait we got a son and he has gone. Krishna says, in life all this, that's my prarabdham, he says. Krishna is saying, this is my prarabdham, he says. And then when he came back, Pradyumna came back, Rukmini was in ecstasy. My son has come back. And that too in a park he comes back, when Vishnu and Rukmini was there. So Rukmini was in ecstasy, say, that time also Krishna was not affected. Whether you had come, whether you have gone, it doesn't matter as far as he is concerned. Na bhairya na bidadasa, na bhairya na sudadaya, almiyo na parachavi, na deho, janma evaja. He doesn't have a body, he doesn't have a birth either. So that is how it is, Bhagavatam is saying, like that, yeah. So, and nobody is dear to him, and he doesn't have any favoritism towards anyone, and nobody is close to him in any way, right? In order that Krishna has to have somebody is closer or somebody is away from him, or in Krishna's bodham, awareness, right? Only Krishna exists here. Only Krishna exists. We are thinking everybody exists separately, each other. In Krishna's vision or Krishna's awareness, only Krishna exists. Not on the bodily level, purely in the state of consciousness. And as they said there, that samadarshitvam, equal vision to everybody, because only he exists in that way, right? And so here, he is pure consciousness, Shuddha Bodham Swarupam, right? And when you have pure consciousness, what happens is, you will see everything equal when you have pure consciousness. One tattvam, and that means everything is equal, right? And Krishna is like that, right? He is not seeing anybody as a person. We are the one who are forcing him to as a person. But he is not seeing us as a person, right? For Krishna, all of us are pure consciousness, right? And he is the consciousness present in everyone. And this whole creation, as far as for he is concerned, is pure bliss. Paramananda Swarupam, it is, right? So that is what that verse is saying. That means Sarva Bhoda Swarupam, present as consciousness in everyone, that Atma Tattvam is him, right? That's what it means, right? Jnaneika Rasam, it says, Shuddha Bhoda Swarupam or Atma Tattvam is him. This is what the 10th chapter and the 11th canto. You remember we discussed this, Atma Tattvam, that chapter. It's all about this, that Krishna is telling us what is he, what is Krishna, right? So, one who seeing that, Atma present in everyone, such a person is called Samadarshi. Remember? Yeah. He said to Uddhava also, in the beginning when he... in that verse, yeah. Tumdu sarvam parityajya sneham sajana bandushu mai aveshya mana samyak samadrik vijarasvagam. In that state of consciousness, you can travel now, he said, to Uddhava, right? So, seeing everybody equal and seeing the one thing present in everyone is different. Like we say to people in the world, isn't it? We should see everybody equally. We all say like that, isn't it? United Nations also says that. Otherwise they say you are a racist and all. You shouldn't be a racist. We should see everybody equally, they say. Shastram doesn't say that. Shastram says, you should see that samam in everyone, which means the Atma present in everyone you should see, not the body. Samam pashyati sarvatra, Bhagavad Gita. Samam pashyati sarvatra. It is called samam. Samam is Krishna. Krishna, who is present in everyone as bodham, awareness, you should see that rather than the body. That's what it is, right? So, if you, otherwise, the problem is that, suppose you see a very great Mahatma, and you see a very wicked person, and you tell that man, you should see both equal. Does that look fair? Suppose you see a very wicked character, and a Mahatma also, and you tell, you should see both Mahatma and the wicked person equally. It doesn't make any sense, isn't it? Right? And if you do like that, there is a problem. And if you see them equally, in the Shastram there is a word for that. Pujya Bhujya Vedikramam, it's called. One who should be given worship and one who should be not to be worshipped. Pujya Bhujya Vedikramam. It is, you're breaking that law. You're breaking the law, right? And it is considered to be very sinful in the Shastra. If you see two people, one of them is very respectful because of his self-realization, spiritually advanced state of consciousness, and another one totally mundane and wicked in character, and to see both of them equally is considered to be sinful in the Shastra. So, but if you realize that, in that Mahatma, as well as that wicked person, same Sachidananda Brahmam is present, seeing like that, that is Samadarshanam. That is Samadarshanam. With that, there is no, that's not an offense. Otherwise, it's an offense. Right? Mahatma, you have to see him as a Mahatma. And the wicked person, you have to see him as a wicked person. Right? And what is that? That is because of the mind only. Antaryami has nothing to do with it. It is because of the mind that they have acted in that way, right? And that means mind is nothing but a ubhadi, one of our ubhadi. So, so depending on the mind, you are accepted in this world higher and lower. Ucham nijam, higher and lower, right? So, a person becomes higher, uttamam, comes in the middle range, madhyamam, or adhamam in the lower range, depending on the mind of that person, right? So, who said this? Bharata said this to Rahugana. If you study Bharatopadesham, you will see there this, very explicitly spoken. Bharata saying to Rahugana, right? So, a mind which has developed satogunam inside, higher, very high degree of satogunam, and it has got a lot of shraddha inside, such a mind, Mahabharata Maharshi says there, Bharata Yogeshwara says there, that uttamam, such a person is uttamam, right? And we worship him as a Mahatma, right? Whereas a mind which has got a lot of ragadvesham inside, and he has got a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, lot of dosham and lot of gunam, such a mind is called madhyamam. So it is based on the mind you classify people, of a person's mind. What we say, mentality, isn't it? So when there is a lot of good qualities and a lot of bad qualities of mind, it is madhyamam, right? And then the another mind which has got, what that means is, there's a lot of good qualities and a lot of God qualities, and Asura Bhava is there, and then it is considered to be the Asuric nature in him, right? And if it has asurik bhavam, there's a lot of bad things, more than the good things. That mind is the lower one, athamam, right? We call him athamam, athamam, right? So, uttamam manasa, one who has got a good mind with good sattva gunam and lot of good qualities, divine nature, everything present in him, then he is called uttamam manasa, uttamam. Then, madhyama manasa, one who has got good qualities and bad qualities, both, he is madhyamam. And adhamam is, he has got all the lot of demonic nature in a person. That is adhamam, right? So, depending on the mind, is this classification, uttamam, madhyamam, adhamam, right? But, in uttamam, madhyamam and adhamam, the antaryami present inside is one. They are the same, right? And that is at Sachidananda Brahmam, right? So, Sachidananda and instead of seeing the mind, if you see that Sachidananda Brahmam, seeing that and recognizing that is called Samadarshanam. Instead of seeing the mind of a person and evaluating a person based on the mind, if you see that Sachidananda Brahmam present inside a Sandaryami in everyone, if you see like that and deal with that person in that way, that is called Samadarshanam, right? So, Samam means pure consciousness, Shuddha Bhodam, Atma Swarupam or Atma Tattvam, right? So, that Samabhavam, if you see in everyone, that is called Samadarshanam, right? Samabhavana. And Krishna, Uddhava says, is Samadarshi. Krishna doesn't look at anyone's mind. As far as Krishna is concerned, mind is separate. He sees the Antaryami inside, right? So, therefore, Krishna doesn't see anyone as a person. He doesn't see anyone as a person. Even though, in pastimes and all, when you read the pastimes, the katha, everything in the Bhagavatam, you may get this impression as though Krishna had a personal vendetta towards someone, or had a personal love for someone. That is all on the katha side only. In reality, Krishna doesn't have anyone dear to him, nor anyone is his enemy in that way, right? In Krishna's eyes, personality doesn't exist. That's a state of consciousness. Krishna's consciousness is like that. Personality doesn't exist, right? For him, there is only Sachidananda Brahman, pure consciousness, right? Similarly, he sees this whole creation as Sachidanandam. And so he sees Sachidananda Paramatma, and that is Krishna's relationship with this world. If you don't say all these things, what will happen is, you will start thinking Krishna is also like us. And we will start dealing with him in that way, forgetting that this is his actual identity, what Uddhava is saying here, right? So, Krishna doesn't have Bheda Buddhi, because based on mind, he doesn't look at anybody, right? And he also doesn't have any problem or desires like we have. He doesn't have any desires either. And therefore, you shouldn't think that Krishna in Mathura is thinking about you and suffering there. You don't have to think like that. So when you say all these things to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, poor this high Vedantam given to them, how they would have felt it, right? So Uddhava says to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, you don't have to worry that he is feeling the separation from you, like you are feeling separation from him. Next verse. Na bhārya na pidātasya, na mātā na pidātasya, na bhārya na sudādaya, alpīyo na varasyābi, na deho janma evaja. This 46th and 47th chapter are very important in the 10th canto. Because after Vrindavana pastimes,
This is where Tatvajnanam comes. What is the message of the 10th canto? Particularly Vrindavana pastimes. This is the message. There. Right. He said, then, na jasya karma va loke sadasan mishra yonishu kridartha sobi sadhunam paritranaya kalpade. He says that even though it is all like this, for Leela's sake. What does Leela mean? Leela means play. Krishna is playing with everybody, right? And therefore, for the sake of the play, he appears in this world in higher species, in the lower species, or in the middle species. Malsyam, Kurmam, all these Varaham are all, Varaham is a boar, isn't it? You don't think boar has a very highly spiritually advanced one. Similarly, fish. Similarly, tortoise. They're all lower species. He comes in that lower species when he wants, right? Or he comes, Narasimham also. Half man, half lion. Or he comes in Krishna's form and Ramchandra's form. Whichever form he likes. All this is done for the benefit of the devotees. For that purpose, he comes in these different forms. Yeah? So, that's what he's saying there. Kridartha sobi sadhunam. Just for playing. He is playing this. This is all play for him, this Leela. Different forms he takes, different incarnations he comes. It is nothing but a play. Kridartham. For the sake of play, he is doing this, right? So, that is again uttamam, athamam, madhyamam. The best, the middle one and the lower one, right? And he appears in human form, Ramachandra and Krishna. At that time, but he has no birth. He is not appearing. That's why all incarnations are with the help of Maya. All incarnations, right? When they come. And therefore he has no birth. It is Maya that is creating this experience for us, right? And he doesn't have any karmam like we have got. And he doesn't have the results of the karmam like we have got. But even though he is Sachidananda Paramatma, in order to bless this world, he appears in different species and he comes as incarnations, right? And that is done only for one reason, for the benefit of the devotees, to protect them and to destroy the wicked. For that purpose, he performs this Leela like this. Yeah? Next verse. If he doesn't have appearance and karmam, then why does this happen then? Answer is next verse. Satvam rajastama idhi bhajade nirguno gunan kridan aditotra gunai srajatyavadi handijam. Krishna is Sachidananda Brahman, Nirgunam. There is no modes of nature present in him. But when he wants to perform this, he accepts the three modes of nature. Means he accepts Maya. With the help of Maya, he does this. Even though he doesn't have birth, Janmadi Vigara Rehidam. That means he doesn't have birth, growth, all the six things, what happens to us. He doesn't have that. And he is beyond the three modes of material nature. But for the sake of playing, Leela means play. To play, he uses these three modes of nature and with that he creates, he maintains and he destroys them. He destroys them. So even though he has no birth and even though he has no karmam, because of Yogamaya, he accepts these different forms and he engages in all this kind of karma. That means Leela cannot happen without Yogamaya. That is the principle. Leela cannot happen without Yogamaya. Right? So, in order to prove that Krishna's kartrutva, that means I am the doer, he does not have that. And for that, he is talking about Jiva's kartrutva. Like when we do things, we feel I have done this, isn't it? That's kartrutva in us. I am the doer.
That feeling in us as I am the doer doesn't exist in him. That is the next verse.
Yadha brahmariga drishtya brahmya diva mahiyate chitte kartari tatralpa karteva hamdhiya smridaha.
Krishna is pure Sachidananda Paramatma. He doesn't think he is born any time. He doesn't think like that, like we think about him, that he is born. He is not thinking, I am born, right? He doesn't have a birth certificate. You can't give him a birth certificate. One who is not born, how can you give a birth certificate, right? Similarly, wife, mother, father, wife, children, relatives, and naturally when you have all of them, what happens? Veda buddhi comes, isn't it? Some people among the relations you like, some people you don't, you keep away from them. So this liking, disliking, attachment, aversion, all these things doesn't exist in him. For him, everyone is the same. There is no difference at all. That means the Veda Chinda, Veda Buddhi is not there in him. And he also does not do any karmam. And he does not experience any results of the karmam either. He doesn't have that, right? So, even though he is Sachidananda Brahmam, Sachidananda Paramatma, in order to give some help to the devotees in this world, so that when he comes in some form and performs some pastimes, the devotees will get attached to him, that form. And that way they can escape from this maya. It's an opportunity for them, right? For that he accepts this form. And when he comes, he protects those devotees who are taking shelter, and those who are against him, he destroys them. Right? So, basically he says, Krishna is gunatitam, isn't it? Three modes of nature is not present in him. But, he is sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. They are under his control, you see. We are under the control of the three gunam. Krishna has all the three gunam under his control. So, when he is under that control, right, he remains as gunadidan. That means he is not affected by them, by the three modes of nature, right? And that is how he conducts creation, maintenance and dissolution. Yeah. When creation, maintenance, dissolution happens, Sachidananda Paramatma, who is Nirgunam, uses the three modes of nature and creates here. That is why these three forms, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they are called Gunavadaram, isn't it? Gunavadaram they are. That means Sachidananda Paramatma's reflection in Rajogunam is Brahma. Sachidananda Paramatma's reflection in Sattugunam is Vishnu. Sachidananda Paramatma's reflection in Tamogunam is Rudra, Shiva, right? So, so normally he is Gunadidan, he is beyond the three modes of nature. Three modes of nature are under his control and he has no connection with them. They cannot influence him, unlike us, right? So, and when Maya comes, which is these three modes of nature, it is considered to be a vibhuti of Sachidananda Brahma. It's a vibhuti in him. And without being controlled by the three modes of nature, without being controlled by the three modes of nature, at the same time controlling them, the three modes of nature, with these three modes, he conducts these three things. Which one? Creation, maintenance and dissolution. Yeah? So, having said that, he says that this is Krishna's situation. His state is like that. Then, in that 41st verse, he talks about the state of Jiva. So, Krishna's position and Jiva's position. Jiva's position is spoken in the 41st verse, right? Jiva has got avidya in him. And when subtle body starts working, he becomes a jiva. When the subtle body starts working, he becomes a jiva. You can see that very clearly. In deep sleep state, you are not a jiva. You see, you don't have anything. You are in the realized state. But as soon as you come to the dream state or the vacant state, your identification as jiva has come along with that. In deep sleep state, there is no jiva as such. It's all disappeared, is it not? Completely, you have become one with the Paramatma Chaitanyam at that time. Only thing is, avidya has not gone. But you cannot segregate jiva in the deep sleep state. Unlike in the vacant state, in the dream state. Vacant state is very easy, because jiva is suffering, Antaryami is witnessing. Jiva is enjoying, Antaryami is witnessing. In dream state, what happens? Antaryami is remaining as he is, but jiva gets a form, and he wanders around in the suffering and enjoying in the dream state. So in the vacant state and in the dream state only, jiva has existence. Yeah? Jiva exists only in the vacant state and the dream state. As soon as you go into deep sleep, jiva also disappears. That's why in Vedantam, all these things are explained very well, very logically. Things. You can see Bhagavatam what he is saying, that that when subtle body starts working, that means when the vacant state or the dream state comes up, that is when jiva comes in, right? And that means when subtle body is in operation, in other words, when Antaryami gets into the subtle body, at that time, the ahankaram in the subtle body becomes alive, right? And then it identifies with the gross body, and then it becomes an individual personality, right? So, andhakarana nishtam, that's what they call it, jiva bhavam. So, jiva existence is all in the subtle body only in the subtle body. Or, when the subtle body is operating, only at that time, jiva is operating. Jiva exists, right? So, and that subtle body operates only in the vacant state and in the dream state. Yeah, and only then jiva bhavam is there. In sushupti or in the deep sleep, when the andhakaranam disappears, subtle body disappears, right? Jiva goes back to Paramatma there and becomes one with him at that time, right? Now, this is all in the Shastram. It is in the Upanishads. Rishis have realized it. Vedavyasa Maharshi put it through Puranams, the same message. But this cannot be proven by experiments and research. Science has to come down, and slowly science has to accept this at one point in time, this reality, that this is how it is. There are so many things in this creation which science also doesn't understand. But their ahankaram doesn't allow that. They think that they know everything. And even this one's own body, they don't know how it works. And then they are claiming all this advancement. These inventions and success in science and all, they are nothing but siddhis they are. Maya releases sometimes some siddhis to the society. Beyond than that, you cannot make it as a proper understanding of this life. Yeah. So again, in Sushupti, subtle body disappears. At that time, jiva becomes one with the Paramatma. And jiva develops this kartratva bhoktratva. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Is only because this subtle body, andhakarana ubhadi, right? So, due to andhakarana ubhadi, subtle body, because of that, vyaktitva abhimanam comes, personality comes, right? And then connection with the gross body, sulam, sushma shariram, right? And because of that connection with the gross body and the subtle body, this personality comes. You see, personality comes. Sometimes, you know, when they go, there's a lot of institutions who goes to these, what do they call the, the businesses, different businesses like Ernst & Young and all the consultants and all, in order to give them about teaching the personality. A lot of people do this. They go there teaching them what personality is. Personality development, they call it, isn't it? Personality development. All that's bogus. Totally bogus. It has nothing to do with Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. It's only a money-making process. Simply that. Unfortunately, spiritual life has also become very commercial in that way. And it's a result of that. There's so many nonsense going on in that way. You can see that. See how Krishna has put that here, in this. That if you accept all these things, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, and this personality is only due to, and there is nothing to develop personality, is there? What is this personality development? So many things going on, all, and the people who are buying it, they are the ones who are the foolish ones. If only they take Bhagavatam and start reading it, they will start realizing that there is a thing called gross body and subtle body. And the subtle body's connection with the gross body is the personality. Where it coming from, right? So, because of that, kartratva bhoktratvam comes. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer comes, right? And because of this connection with the gross and subtle body, right? And based on that, we have identified as an individual personality, right? And then we think that I am this person. And personality comes to Jiva, right? And when you start thinking that I am a person, that is when you start thinking I am doing this karmam. That means kartratvam comes when you start thinking you are a person, right? And then when you do karmam, the results are important. You are waiting for the results. Kartratva, bhoktratvam, they are called. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. All these things comes to the jiva at that point. And vyaktitva abhimanam, personality, comes for Sachidananda Paramatma who has taken. So, these things, what happens to jiva, doesn't happen to Antaryami, right? So, for a jiva, this personality and kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am joyer, is happening due to this connection with the gross body, right? Krishna plays with these three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. He is called gunadidan, right? Who is beyond the three modes of nature, like it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita chapter. Gunatraya vibhaga yogam, if you read that, you will see how Krishna is gunadidan, right? In other words, means that he has no connection with the gunam, three modes of nature. Next verse. Yatha brahmarika drishtya brahmya diva mahiyate chitte kartari tatra alpma karteva hamdhiya smridaham. Uddhava is giving an example there. What is he saying? He is saying that when you stand in one place and start rotating, children do that, isn't it? When they do like that, what happens? They start feeling giddiness. Children are playing like that. So similarly, what happens is when the children do that, they feel that the whole world is rotating along with that. All children play like that. So, similarly, Uddhava is saying, when you are thinking that you are the doer, based on your vasanas in the chittam, right? Because you have this thing called adhyasam in there, you start thinking, Atma is the doer. Atma is the doer. You start thinking like that. He says, that's the impact of that. And the comparison is with this, that The world, earth is rotating, and children run around like this, in circles, and then they suddenly stop, and then this, for some time, the world appears to be rotating still for them. And they enjoy that. That feeling what they get from that. Is it not? The children get a pleasure out of it. Then the whole world is... It's a bit of a, like an intoxicated, like we get intoxicated. And how we enjoy in the same way the children get fun from all these things. So similarly, he's saying that when the chittam is absorbed in this world, because chittam is absorbed in the world, you have got adhyasam there. That's the problem with that, adhyasam. Adhyasam means that you are identifying with that chittam straight away. And due to that, you are thinking you are the doer. Actually, you are not doing anything. Though I am the doer is due to adhyasam, right? If so, even jiva doesn't have kartrutvam. It is only in ahankaram it is, kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Jiva doesn't have it. But the impact is there on jiva because of the identification. Identification is the problem. And that's what he is saying here. Therefore, if jiva doesn't have it, where is the question of Sachidananda Paramatma Andaryami having it? That's what he's asking. Uddhava is asking. Can you imagine? Krishna, you would have thought Krishna sent Uddhava to pacify Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Right? He sat there and listened to all the tears and the crying and everything. Uddhava heard, oh, what a bhakti you have developed. He appreciated all that. And then this heavy Vedantam was spoken to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. I wonder how much it has gone into Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's mind in that state. Yeah, they were feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna has not come back yet, even though he promised. And then he inquired Uddhava, they inquired from Uddhava, what all happening in Mathura? How is Krishna managing without us? Like the parents think, isn't it? How will the children manage without us? When the children are 60 years old, the father is 80 years old, he is also thinking, how the children will manage without me, my son will manage, he is already 60 years old, how will he manage? In the same way, Krishna is a little more different than that. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda is asking, how will Krishna manage without us? And remembering all the past leela, what he has performed here in Vrindavanam, all these things, and then Uddhava spoke all these things to them, this thing to them, yeah. So then, in the next two verses, he is saying that one final word to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. You know what that is? He says, "Don't think Krishna is yours." To Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and that was enough for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to hear. They were thinking, "He is my son." Is our son, isn't it? So Uddhava says, he is not your son. He is everybody's son. So therefore he says, it is not proper to think like that, he says. What is that? Ivayoreva naivayam atmajo bhagavan hari sarvesham atmajo atma pida mata sa ishvara. Krishna is nobody's, not only your own son, right? He is the son of everybody. Yeah? And out of that, he is not only their son, he is their very soul. And also he is their father. He is their father, right? And he is also their mother. And he is also the Ishvara, right? Because he is the soul of everybody. Therefore, he is everything at the end. Yeah? Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita also. Isn't it? Mata dhada pidamaha vedyam pavitram omgaram vriksama yajurevaja gedar bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam sukhrit prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam. In the verses you can read there. Same thing Krishna is saying there. I am the father of everybody. Isn't it? Yeah. So, basically Bhagavad Gita Krishna is, Uddhava is repeating here in his own words. So, then he said that, he's making it clearer, that this world, what you are experiencing through your senses, right? And which that's our present state. We know this world through senses only. What are the things we know about this world except through the senses? 5 senses. That's what we call as the world. And then there is higher world, upper planetary systems. We have not seen them through senses. But we have knowledge of them through Shastra. Higher planets, right? Then similarly lower planets also. We have no knowledge, we have not perceiving them. We are only perceiving this one world where we are living, through our senses. And higher planets and lower planets, we are not perceiving them through senses. But we have knowledge of them through the Shastram, right? And similarly, all these worlds are occupied by living entities. At the moment, they are present there. And they will all disappear gradually from this world. And new living entities will come there, in their place, right? Similarly, moving and non-moving. Is it not? Moving and non-moving, both. Savaram, Jangamam. Uddhava says, that's all Krishna only. It's not only you are Krishna is connected with you. Even the higher planets are connected with him. Lower planets are also connected with him, right? He is the one who has no, he doesn't fall. Sachidananda Paramatma, right? So, there exists only him. Everything is Paramatma Swarupam, right? So, when you are experiencing this world, Uddhava is saying to him, Krishna, to Nanda Maharaj, that Maya's Vilasam is all this world. This world and the higher world and the lower world, everything. And all the things what is present inside this world is also Maya's Vilasam, right? But give them a reality. They all look real to us because Krishna is present in all of them. It's not very difficult to understand. Within us now, when Krishna is there, we are doing all the things, isn't it? Speaking, eating, sleeping, traveling, all that thing. When Krishna leaves this body, then what is left? Panchabhutam, 5 material elements. You can just throw it in the bin. Burn it, or give it to the animals to eat, or so. He says here that reality comes because of Krishna's presence. If you look at it from the absolute platform, where did Maya come from? From Paramatma, right? What is the cause of Maya? Paramatma. And so from Paramatma, Maya came. That means Maya is a vibhuti of Paramatma. And is Maya different from Paramatma? And Maya has expanded in the form of this creation. And Paramatma Swarupam is Paramatma different from Maya? Only thing is, Paramatma creates illusion in people, everybody, right? And it is a vibhuti of Paramatma, right? And the world or creation that the Maya has presented or projected in front of us, we mistakenly think that it is separate from Paramatma. That is a misunderstanding of the jiva, like we all do. We think that this world is separate from Krishna. And that is the biggest illusion Maya has injected into us. And therefore, at one stage in spiritual life, people think world exists, me exist, God exists. It is coming from that. When you are in that state, when you think that, Maya has come from Paramatma. Maya projected this world in front of us. While projecting it, the result of that was, we became separate, world became separate, God became separate. And then we keep saying, here, we are arguing each other, who is God and where is he? What is he doing there? He is keeping an eye on us. And we are answerable to him. And things like that. So, Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. This triangle is a creation of Maya. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. is a triangle and it's a creation of Maya. And that is one lower level of understanding the truth based on the Vedic knowledge. So, the proper way to think is, higher understanding is that this Maya and this Maya's creation called, Maya's projection called this world is all Paramatma Swarupam only, right? So, if you think about Maya's reality, right, at that time, Maya has come from Paramatma, and in other words, it is a opulence of the Paramatma, Vibhuti, right, is Maya. And Paramatma has no existence on its own. Because Paramatma is present in the Maya. That is how Maya is existing, right? Maya cannot exist on its own. That's important thing. Maya cannot exist on its own, right? So, Maya is present in the creation, so it is Maya's body this creation is, right? And therefore, this form of Maya is also, in reality, is Krishna Swarupam. That is the conclusion, right? But Maya makes us confused, making us to think that this world is separate from Him. It's separate from Him. And we shouldn't fall into that trap, that Brahmam. That's called Brahmam, right? We have to recognize this Paramartham, reality, based on the Upanishads, that world is not separate from Him, and then continue the sadhana. So, whole creation in reality is Krishna Swarupam, Paramatma Swarupam. Nothing is different from Atma. Nothing is different from Atma. That is the message. Yeah. So, and this is the key part of that 46th chapter. This message, right? After this, many verses you will find that what was happening in Vrindavanam at that time. The gopis woke up in the morning and they, obviously, they wake up not too early because they had no electricity and all. So they had to light their lamps. They have their own 5 o'clock or whatever time they got up. And by the time the sun rises, they slowly gets into action, washing home, cleaning the house, and lighting the lamps, and beautifying the home, different ways they do. And then their next karmam, churning the yogurt. That's their first occupation, because that's their duty, isn't it? They sell the butter, cheese, everything. So, they engage in that activities, right? Evam nishasa brodor vyadiram nandasya krishnana jarasya rajan gopya samuthai nirupya deepan yastun samabhyarchada dhinyamandhan ta deepa deeptirmani birvireju rajur vigashad buja kanganasraja chalam nidambastanahara kundalam tushal kapolarana kungumananam. Sri Shukha Brahmashi glorifies the beauty of the gopis, how they looked so beautiful in Vrindavanam, with their, how they appeared there, and their dress and their decorations. Shukha Brahmashi seems to like explaining all that. And that gopis, in the light of the lamps, looked more beautiful, and they were wearing jewelry as well, not the plastic ones. The real one, real jewelry they were having, right? Udgayadinam aravinda lochanam prajangananam divamas prashadvani dadhanascha nurmandhana shabdamishrito nirasyade yena dishama mangalam. While they were churning the yogurt, they were singing about Krishna. And that sound has gone everywhere because they were talking about Krishna, right? And due to that, all the impurities have been removed from the atmosphere. And with such a devotion, they sang those songs, gopis, right? And that has purified the entire world, it says. Bhagavat yudide surya nandadwari vraja ugasa drishtvaratam shada kaumpham kasya agamidhi chabruvan. So when sun rose, sun was rise, Surya Narayan, when he rose, right, they looked at Nanda Maharaj's house. The houses were built like a semicircle in Vrindavanam in their time. So everybody could see everybody's house, what was happening there. And they saw this chariot standing outside Nanda Maharaj's home, right? And they were asking each other, who is this? Come to visit Nanda Maharaj, right? And they have not forgotten that Akrura has come and taken him away one day. So they are saying, has Akrura come back again? He says, Akrura agada kimva, he says. Ya kamsasya artha sathaga, yena nido madhupurim Krishna kamalala vachana. He says, you know the one who came before this Akrura, who wanted to satisfy Kamsa, who was servant of Kamsa, has he come again? Why? Because it is that Akrura who has come before and taken him. It is the same chariot, it looks, that he had come now. Then they are saying to each other, in their own mind, you know, in their simple mind, they are saying, Kim sadayushat yasma bir bhartu predasya nushkarim idhi srinam vadandhinam uddhavogat kridhanigam. He says that maybe, they say, that after they have, he has gone and pleased Kamsa, and then Kamsa has been killed now, we understand. So after that you have to perform the pindam for the forefathers of Kamsa. And maybe he wants us to be slaughtered for that. Is that why he has come? That's what he is asking there. With our body, in Shraddha ceremony, meat was offered for many people. Rabbit's meat and things like that were used. It is in the way. Some of the Vedic ceremonies, if you hear, it's frightening. They are not very easy to accept in the modern world. The torture of innocent animals and things like that. But it is in the Vedam. And so therefore you can't outrightly reject it. For its own reasons, it has been spoken like that. So gopis are saying, gopis are saying, have they come to get us also now? Kamsa must have told them, or Akrura is the one who is engineering everything from behind. In their eyes, they consider Akrura as a big problem. So now that Kamsa is killed, for Kamsa's, what we call the ritualists, the rituals after death, Shraddha ceremony, for that they want the flesh. Maybe Akrura wants to kill us, slaughter us, and take our meat for our flesh for offering to the forefathers for the ceremony, he says. While they were talking like this, Uddhava was coming back after bathing in the river. And the morning ceremonies, what Uddhava has to do, Sandhyavandanam, everything, Snanam, Sandhyavandanam, which ordinary Uddhava did, he went to the river. In them days, nobody bathed at home. Everybody bathed in the river or in the tanks. It was always like that. If a guest comes at home, you tell them where to go to bathe, and you go, even if you have to walk for a mile or half a mile, doesn't matter, it was accepted because nobody had to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that was the system. This bathroom and all is a modern thing, is it not? With the golden taps and all. And we get very proud about it. Bathroom at home is considered to be not very clean in any circumstances. Like we say, 5-star hotels. We can, because it's 5-star hotel, doesn't mean there is satugunam there. Is it not? Same way. So bathing means bathing in the river. Flowing water, it should be there. At least it should be a water that is exposed to sunshine. Then only then it's considered to be bathing. Not in the bathroom. So Uddhava naturally in a normal way, he went to river to bathe in the river. It's not that Nanda Maharaj could not afford a bathroom, but that was the system then. Only if you bathe in the river, you are considered to be bathing properly, proper bathing. And Sandhyavandanam, all these things you have to perform after that. So all that happened, he has come back. So when he is coming back, what happened was, the gopis saw Uddhava coming back from the river after bathing. Yeah. So when he coming back, he says that, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Tam Vikshe Krishna Anucharam Vrajastriyam Pralamba Bahum Navakanjalochanam Pidambaram Pushkaram Alinam Lasal Mukharavindam Manimrishta Kundalam Shujismido Kayam Abhichya Darshanam Kudaschakasya Chudavesha Bhushanam Idisma Sarva Parivam Rarulsaga Uttama Shloka Padambuja Ashrayam. All the gopis saw Uddhava. Uddhava also looks like Krishna, very much so, right? Long arms and beautiful eyes, and wearing, Uddhava normally wore all Krishna's old clothes. Rukmini Devi used to give it to Uddhava, and Uddhava enjoyed wearing as prasadam, Krishna's prasadam, right? And wearing a lotus flower garland and beautiful eyes, and Uddhava also had eardrops, kundalam, like Krishna had. And everywhere he looked very much like Krishna. Very beautiful, right? And they were talking to each other, who is this person who is coming, right? So they came to see who he is and surrounded him from everywhere. Tram prashrayana vanadasu satkradam savrida hasekshana sunradadhibi rahasya prachyannu bhavishtamanase masane vijnaya sandeshaharam ramapade. Then they learned that he is a messenger from Krishna. They understood, right? So naturally, Krishna's messenger, they have shown all sorts of respect for Uddhava, and with a shyness and a smile and glancing at him and speaking in a jocular way, they asked him a few things, right? Jani mastvam yadupade parshadam samubhagadam Bartreha Proshida Pitor Bhavan Priyajigirshaya. He says that you have come to console Krishna's parents, have you? That question itself is a loaded question, isn't it? Very loaded it is. You know what I mean? Loaded question it is. In other words, they were finding fault with Krishna. Krishna doesn't care for us anymore. You must have come because he is concerned about his parents. So he had sent you here to inquire about their welfare, is it? That is the question, right? Jani mastvam yadubade parshadam samubhagadam bartreha preshida pitrot bhavan priya chirshaya, right? That, in other words, you have not come to console us. You have not come, you have come to pacify Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. That is implied in that question itself. They get pleasure in giving pain to Uddhava by asking like this. They wanted to see how Uddhava is going to respond to that. Anyadha govraje tasya smaraniyam na chashmahe snehanu bandho bandhunam munerabhi sudustyajam. He says, otherwise there is nothing in this place now reminding us of Krishna, except Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, right? Then if you think that why Krishna has sent you here to console them or pacify them, that's because this bodily relationship is very difficult to give up. He doesn't have any bodily relationship with us. He has only bodily attachment to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, not to us. So, even great rishis, sometimes they find it difficult to give up this bodily connections. Gopis are poking Uddhava. Actually, he wants Uddhava to say something. So they put it, right? And then they said that there's nothing here to think about Krishna now. Anvesh arthakrada maitri yavad artha vidambanam pumbis trishukrada yadvat sumana siva shalpadei. Right? He says, these relationships in this world is concerned, is like relationship between man and woman. Men will show a lot of affection to the women if it suits them. For their purpose, they will do that, right? And that is their relationship with the women. Similarly, the bees, when they go to the flowers, they will hang around that flower for some time, as though they are attached to that flower. You give the impression like that. All they want is the honey from the flower. And similarly, this relationship between Krishna and us is all selfishness. They are saying, who? Gopis are saying this. Gopis wants to make Uddhava to say something. What is in his mind, he wants to find out. Why has Krishna sent him here? Is it been sent only for... They are ordinary people, you have to remember. Gopis are ordinary people, is it not? They have not studied Shastram. They have not done any sadhana. They have not pleased any great mahatmas in their life. They have not performed any charity. All these things later on it comes about gopis spoken. So you can't expect gopis to speak as a... Gopis will only speak like an ordinary person. Ordinary people speak like this, is it not? So in the same way they spoke. We also do the same thing. When some... you must have seen this. When sometimes, especially these days, people leave home and travel to abroad in some other country, and they go and live in that country for 30, 40 years. And one day suddenly some boredom comes to him. I should visit my family in India or in somewhere else. And he goes back to see them, to see this my so-called family. I want to meet with them and see them and talk to them and all that, right? So when you go back, the way they will react to you at that time, because they have already written you off from their mind. Because attachment is all when you are together. Once you have separated from them, attachment also goes. Prabhupada said this to one mother who was carrying a baby in the pushchair. Prabhupada said to her that this is the weight of the attachment, he says to her. That attachment is only there when you are having the child with you. The same child, when he grows up, becomes big and start doing things on its own, you don't feel the same attachment anymore. So in the same way, gopis are saying that. So when you go back, this is the same questions will come. Oh, you never cared for 40 years, you never made a phone call, you never wrote a letter, you never inquired about us, like that. What does it all mean? Who can inquire about whom in this world? Everybody is a visitor here. And visitors have to leave at some time or the other. In the olden days, a comparison is given to this, you know, the places where you meet, and in the hot weather, they have places where they will serve buttermilk for pedestrians who are walking, for people who are walking, in the hot sun when they walk. So you meet up with some people in that place, and after that you had your buttermilk and then you disperse, you're gone. But if you say about that today in the world, nobody will understand it. That there was a... What do they call it? The I don't know what is in English. The places where... Wayside. You can say a place in the wayside where they serve you soft drinks or water in the hot weather. Yeah. Places like that. Yeah. So you go like that. You get... And there you meet some people. And how much friendship you have with them, that's all our friendship in this world. With anybody. It's like that. Instead, a better example will be, if you go to a bus stand now, so many buses are coming and going. So you're standing there, and there were other passengers also waiting for other buses. At that time, you have a relationship with them, temporarily. Once your bus comes and you got into the bus and you're gone, that relationship is over. In the same way, in this world also, he's saying that, and similarly, gopis gave a little bit more painful example. Gopis are blaming that, saying that men, they will have a relationship with women as long as it suits them. For their sense gratification, they will make that relationship and they'll keep it going as long as it suits their sense gratification. Similarly, the bees also, black bees, they go around in the flower and it'll give you an impression as though the bees are very attached to that flower. They are not. What they are attached to is the honey in the flower. As long as they can get it, they will hang around. Once the honey they have sucked, they will move on to the next one. So, like this is all selfishness, right? So he's saying here, is it like that? Then they gave a lot of examples for that, yeah? നിസ്സിസ്വം ത്യജന്തി ഗണിക അല്പം അകൽപ്പം നൃപതിയും പ്രജ അതീത വിദ്യാം ആചാര്യ മൃത്യുജോ ദത്തദക്ഷിണം. വിമൻ വെൻ ദേ ഹാവ് ദേ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് മെൻ ഓൾസോ ഇസ് ആസ് ലോങ് ആസ് ദ മെൻ ഈസ് സപ്ലൈയിങ് ദ മണി ദേ ആർ ഹാപ്പി വിത്ത് ഹിം റൈറ്റ് ആൻഡ് once they have sucked out everything from them, they will leave them, they will look for somebody else, right? Similarly, the subjects of a government also, they also give up the king when he cannot rule them anymore, right? Or he has become very weak, somebody else conquers the kingdom in them days, this king is thrown away and that's finished, right? Similarly, the students, when they have gone to the guru, after they have gone through their education, they give them the dakshina to the acharya and then they leave him. They'll forget him after that. Similarly, in the yagam, when the ritviks, they get their dakshina from the yajamanan. Yajamanan has to pay the dakshina to all the ritviks. Once the ritviks have got their dakshina, that will be some amount of money, they are finished with that yagam and they'll be looking for the next yagam and the next yajamanan. That is how all these relationships are in this world. So we'll discuss that next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.